This morning, we have seven scripture passages that you can see in your bulletins where individually and collectively, they reflect a really beautiful, loving, and healing message that spans all the way from the Old Testament through the New Testament. And as I read these passages from one to the next, you can look in your bulletins and you can see where each one comes from in the Bible. And the first one is from Jesus, where it's really at the end of his ministry. And what he's doing is he's giving a summary where he's saying to his disciples and to his followers, this is the bottom line here of why I've said and why I've done everything that has gone before. And I'm wrapping this up here. Why? So you don't miss the point regarding what I'm about and what I want for you and what I really want for everyone. And he says it this way. I have said these things to you, meaning all of it, so that my joy may be in you and so that your joy may be complete. The great thing is that he says this at the end of his ministry, not towards the beginning when, you know, he was warming up or something, or that there's going to be more important information to come later, but he says this summing up his total purpose. Why? So that you can know how to be genuinely happy. So that you can know how to live, so that you can feel great. You can feel great about life and feel great about yourself and feel wonderful and happy about other people. Complete joy. Next passage, he said, I speak these things in the world. And so now he's saying for everyone so that they may have my joy in themselves. So he's saying that this joy isn't, it's not something for a small group of people, for my immediate followers. I want my joy for everyone. God wants everyone to experience this joy. And then elsewhere, but also at the end of his physical life on earth, Jesus says, enter into the joy of your master. And then back in the Old Testament, it says, happy are those who trust in the Lord. And the way we're happy, following that path of love, sharing, generosity, kindness. Happy are those who keep my ways. It says, happy are those who are kind to the poor. Happy are those who have no reason to judge themselves. And with that, this is the word of God. May God bless our hearing and our embodiment, our living of these beautiful words of abundant life. Amen. So as we begin, we really have three questions. Question number one, pop quiz. Is happiness and joy something that God wants for you? Clearly the answer is yes. I mean, we just read it and heard it in black and white. So question number two, is happiness and joy, is goodness and well-being, is this something that Jesus wants for you? And obviously, that's a slam dunk as well. It's inarguable. But just to clarify, and it's incredible that we have to clarify this, but we do. Because I talk to people all the time, and folks who have been scarred by religious institutions who apparently have not read these passages in the Bible. So just to clarify, Jesus never said the opposite of this. He never spoke against himself, as in he never said, I want you to suffer. He never said you should feel guilty, or I want you to feel ashamed, or uptight, or judgmental or self-critical. Nope. So if there was ever a question about that, then these scripture passages, straight from the mouth of Jesus, set the message straight. Which means that question number three then would be, okay, so if this is the case, if God clearly wants joy for you and me, then therefore, is this something that's important or is it trivial? Is it something that's worth investigating and figuring out and spending some time with? And the answer to that question then, obviously too, is also a yes. But the thing is, with this being the case, with this being so obvious and so clear, then that really the last question is, why then are some people so committed to being unhappy and angry or just grumpy and staying that way? Now, yesterday I ran into some friends, church members, who had seen the title of this talk today, and one of them said to me, well, I hope it's not too unhappy. And I said, well, it's not, you know, really about being unhappy, but it's really how not to be that. But the weird thing is, I said, though, you know, the thing is that some people work really hard at staying unhappy, even though they say a lot of times that they want to be happy. And they said, what? Really? And the thing is, it's true that some people actually work to stay unhappy. And weirdly, we all do this to some extent. But there are some folks, though, who are really kind of like Jedi masters at this. And they're very committed to their practice. But we all work to some extent staying unhappy. And with that, let's just jump into the first point here. And what we're going to do today is we're going to break it down and we're going to share some methods that people who are very disciplined at working to stay unhappy, what they do. And we're going to take a look at this. So if for some reason you want to perfect your craft at being very unhappy, you can do this. Or if for some reason you don't and you would actually rather be happy, then by knowing a little bit more about how the knot is tied, then you can also know how to untie the knot as well, if you like. Because the art of unhappiness is a lot like the art of knot tying. It's an age-old tradition that gets passed down from generation to generation. It just becomes, some of it becomes natural, and we don't even realize all the things that we learned and practice. But it is a learned skill. So to get started, let's begin with one of the most universal methods of all of how to stay unhappy, and that is method number one, which is if you want to stay unhappy, if you're already that way, and if you want to stay that way, then the first thing you need to do is make sure that you don't change a thing. What do I mean? Let's say you have an unhappy life. Let's say you have an unhappy, I don't know, marriage. You could have an unhappy job, vocation. To remain unhappy, whatever you do, do not use your God-given will and the resources around you to make any substantive changes. Just keep doing what you're doing and complain about it. You can complain about what you don't like, about how rotten it is, or how bad life is, or how sad, or how unfair things are. And there are plenty of examples of that out there to help in your training. Let me share a little story with you, and that is, I have a relative who for at least 20 years, decades, has been bemoaning his marriage. And for at least 20 years, decades, I've been telling him, you know, unless you want to keep feeling that way 20 years from now, for the next 20 years, you got to do something different, which means breaking out of the patterns that you already know, getting some kind of outside information, perspective, and help, coaching. And for 20 years, he hasn't done so. So he's done an outstanding job, really, of staying unhappy. And so my bet is that for the next 10, 20 years, probably for the rest of his life, he's going to continue to stay unhappy. Does anybody want to bet against that? Do you know anybody who's like that? I bet you do. Now, here's the tricky part, and that is there any part of yourself that engages in that? I've got parts of myself like that. There are some things that I look at and I go like, you know, it's not making me happy. Why am I still doing them? Albert Einstein said, it takes a different mind to solve a problem than the one that it took to create it. So if you want to continue to be unhappy, realize life doesn't change itself all by itself. Which brings us to the second point, second foundational truth, which is that no one has the right to take your unhappiness away from you. You have all the power in that regard. Only you have the power to make the change. Put it another way, you don't have the right or the ability to solve anyone else's problem either, if they don't allow you to do so or if they don't want you to do so. So many stories about this. I talk to parents, I talk to people who have friends who they desperately want to help. I talk to folks who want to help their child, folks that, who want to help their friend. Sometimes a child wants to help their parent when they get a certain age, but the parent or the child or the friend just keeps throwing up roadblock after roadblock and reason why it's impossible, why that can't happen. Reasons why anything you offer is not going to work. And for the person who wants to stay unhappy, that's brilliant. That's brilliant. And they know that it drives people crazy who are trying to help them. And what happens is you're trying to solve their problem way more than the person is themselves. And you can feel that. And it's really, really frustrating. So you're up against that person who's not wanting to give up their problem. You're putting in so much more effort into it. And you may even seem to be way more concerned that they even have a problem in the first place. It's like, why aren't you doing anything about this? Have you ever experienced that one? I have people to talk to me, they're knocking their brains out, trying to help somebody. It could be trying to help somebody who is drinking, or they see that their friend is in a bad marriage, and they're just, you know, not doing anything about it, or adults who are concerned for the health and safety of their parents, and you know, every time they come to me, they're trying harder than the person that they're trying to help. So the truth is that every person's happiness, unhappiness, is a very personal choice. And that person has the right to choose it and keep it going as long as they want. And we do keep choosing it. We choose it time after time by the things that we do, and we keep re-choosing it by the things that we don't do. So first, if you want to stay unhappy, don't make any substantive changes. Just complain. Second, no one has the right to take your unhappiness away from you. you have to give it up. And then third, what I've noticed is that unhappy people are just super goal-oriented. If you want to stay unhappy, keep your goals clearly before you. And what do I mean? Unhappy people have all sorts of lists and phrases and philosophies, sometimes very complicated, that they repeat and rehearse as a dedicated practice about why they can't be happy and about why it's so hard and about why nobody really understands why things can't be solved the way that you may think that they can be solved, or why action, it just can't be taken. And if you ever notice that people who want to stay unhappy are very committed to their unhappiness in this way. They're dedicated, they practice and they rehearse these messages. So, you know, unhappiness, it's not an easy path to take. So here are some of the more classic methods, and I bet that some, probably all of these things are going to sound pretty familiar. And you know what? Maybe you've even mastered some of these yourself. So classic response number one is, look, I know you're trying to help. You don't understand my situation. You haven't lived my life. This is why I have this problem. And you know, I got to tell you, you got to give credit where credit is due, because that's a brilliant response to be able to hang on to your unhappiness. Why? Because it's true. I mean, it's true, and how can you argue that? You know, because nobody can ever completely understand another person's predicament. And so, you know, when somebody says that, hey, it's an automatic win right there to stay unhappy. Because if that's a condition, you know, for you to let your problem go and start trying to work on it in some kind of a different way, if the condition is that I thoroughly need to understand your predicament and all of your history and everything that led to it, what that person is saying clearly is, you know, you're not going to win. You're going to try, but you're not going to win because I'm hanging on to my problem with this condition because it's mine. It's not yours. You can't understand it. So don't even try. This is my unique thing. This is my identity. And this is an airtight case. So unhappiness lives for another day. Unhappiness doesn't come easy. You got to work at it. Method number four, make sure you rehearse your negative responses often, so often that they just become automatic. They become a part of who you are. You know, the world is just stupid. I could never do that. You know, well, it's just, this is just life. This is just my life. I don't know. Life sucks. It's too hard. Can't be done. I don't have the time. I don't have the time. As it's been said, you know, it's been said, we don't see life as it is. We see life as we are. You are the lens through which you see the world. So that's how it's done. Hold on to negative self-talk if you want to stay unhappy. Fifth method, classic method. Here's one. Now, this is a great one because this is if things actually are going well for a certain period of time, and then what you do to stay unhappy is, you know, remind yourself or the people around you, just remind yourself of the problems that you've endured in your past. You know, what has gone wrong, the failures that you faced before, and that'll kill it. Bring up the bad things that have happened, things that haven't worked. Or an alternative method kind of close to that is, takes a little creativity, but it's brilliant. Start bringing up what might go wrong, even if there's nothing going wrong now. And that'll just take your immediate pleasure, and that'll kill that. Now, you may be one of these masters. You, I'm guarantee, have been around some of these masters, where if you're too happy, just start thinking about the bad stuff, things that might happen. It's an advanced move, but it's brilliant. It's brilliant because there's really no limit to what might happen wrong. And so you win again. And once again, you get to stay unhappy. Now, do people really do this? Thing is, you know it's true. Number six, if you don't have any recent failures or problems, just, again, learn from the pros. Just dredge something up from the past. Now, there are some couples who I think everybody knows, who are really committed to their unhappiness and are really great at this. And where if things are going a little too well, you know, you can pull this one out at any time. Just say to the other person, remember when you did such and such, right? So there's nothing happening now. So just remember, and then boom, you know, any kind of present happiness just goes like magic. Method number seven, I've touched on this one before. If you do have any real problems, things that actually should be addressed, then do what the unhappiness experts do, which is deny them, just refuse to get help, and that'll make sure that they don't go away. So tell yourself things like, you know, things that people have told me so many times, you know, counseling and sharing your feelings. It's just not for me. It's just not for me. Classic. You can say things like, well, what do they know, really? Getting help is for soft people. It's for weak people. And again, who has the time? I've heard them all from the pros. And here's another one. This is a great one. I can handle this myself. Now, granted, it's not original, but it works. So if you want to hang on to your unhappiness, keep it to yourself. Keep it quiet and make sure you don't use your connections. Eighth method, if something good happens, minimize the good things that happen. You know what I'm talking about. There's somebody who's been down and something good happens. What do the pros do? Minimize the good things. You know, say things, you know, if something good happens, then you minimize it. You go, well, it's probably just luck anyway. And one that always gets me from the masters is something great happens and you say, oh, this is fantastic. They go, well, you know, it's not going to last. Something's bound to happen, you know. So, and if that doesn't burst your bubble of joy, what will, right? So if you're really committed to your craft of unhappiness, don't even enjoy the good things as they're happening. Number nine, maybe you've taken this one. Take things the wrong way, right? So somebody says something and hurts your feelings, and let's say they apologize. You know what? Stick to your guns. Tell them, you're not really sorry. You meant it. So don't accept their apology. Insist that they really are not sorry, or they really, you know, they really did mean it. Hold on to your anger and resentment if you want to stay unhappy. Nobody can take that from you. Not when they apologize, not when they said they didn't mean it. You can hang on to that. And then, of course, remember it forever so you can dredge it up later, and there's no statute of limitations to doing that. Tenth, compare your situation to someone else's that you think is better. It doesn't even have to actually be better. You don't even have to know. You can just see things from the outside and assume. Now, that's a master move, and here's the genius with this one, that even if what you have going on right now, you know, somewhere in your life is pretty good, what you do is you pick somebody else who you think has it better in that area, and then you compare your situation to theirs, and instantly yours doesn't seem as good, right? So it's like, you know, and you not just with material things, but here's an example. You know, you can say to somebody, hey, you know what, you really played well today. And that person says, well, not as well as Jane. You know, there you go. It's versatile, and you can apply it financially. You know, financially, you can compare yourself with other people. You can do it with your looks. Right? Somebody says, hey, you look great today. And you go, well, not as good as you. You can do it with your age. Not as young as that person. Your health, your strength, your luck, your fitness. Not as lucky as some. Your marriage. I wonder why we can't be more like so-and-so. There's, you see, with this, it's brilliant because there's really no downward limit that you can hit comparing yourself with others. Always options. So many more, but second to last, how to stay unhappy. You know, set hard-to-reach conditions for your unhappiness. For what would it take for you to be really happy? You know, so you can fill in the blank. And, you know, like, I can never really be happy as long as, you know, I don't know, as long as I have this job with this rotten company. So, you know, and that can go a long time. So you've really just blocked out a really big period in your life of where you're pretty committed to that unhappiness. You know, I could never be happy as long as I live in this house. Well, who knows that how long that's going to be, you know. I can never be happy. You know what I hate is winter. That's a whole season that you get to stay unhappy. Or you could just say, oh, I don't know, like today, oh, I hate snow. Think of all the shoveling that I got to do. So you see, regardless of what else might happen great during the day, you see, you've already won, you know, the unhappiness game. Because you've just carved out a whole day where you've already said you're not going to be happy. I can never really be happy as long as, you know, until other people change. You know what really gets me is other people and the way that they behave. So, you see, it doesn't even have to have anything to do with your life. It can just be other people. I won't be happy until I lose this weight, until I get in shape. Be creative. Set your conditions that are unreachable or long-term to stay unhappy. I hate being old. Heard that one, which was saying, I hate my life because every day I'm just going to be getting older. So think about this. Would it be radical to say, I love my age right now? The ache in the knees, you know, the thinning hair, all of it. I love it. Now, you would never say that if you want to remain unhappy. So make your conditions, set them, make them really hard. 12th, this one almost goes without saying, just always want more, you know, whatever you have, just always want more. And that'll keep you unhappy. You know it works. Last, if you want to be unhappy, make sure you surround yourself with negative people who agree with your outlook and won't challenge you. So, you know, this has been kind of tongue-in-cheek today, having a little fun with something that's actually very, very important. Something that affects each one of us. And I bet that you've noticed some of your own methods in there of how to stay unhappy. So you can continue. Or, if you choose, you can untie that knot. It's God's will for you. It's what Christ wants for you. But you know what? Either way, you are in charge, and practice makes perfect. Amen.
Most gracious God, we offer thanks for this day and for the opportunity to be here together in worship. During this time, may we be able to put aside the concerns of our daily lives and let go of all the demands that crowd upon us and simply be present here to your spirit and your words. We offer you prayers of thanksgiving for life and all those things that make our life so good, for the beauty of a sunset, the sparkle of a snowstorm, the smile of a stranger, the song of a bird, the hug from a loved one, and the gentle hand of a friend. But we are very aware, God, that for many the world holds more sorrow than joy. So help us to make this earth a safe home for all of your children. And we admit that though your earth is abundant, many of your children and our neighbors live in poverty and want. And we know through your words, through prophets and apostles, that this is neither your will nor your purpose. So fill us with the gift of hope and generosity, and the drive and perseverance to do your will, so that all people might share fairly in the good things of your creation. We bring to you our concerns for the peace and safety of our community and our country and our world. We bring our concerns for continued gun violence. We bring our concerns for refugees and for those living in fear. And we bring you our personal concerns for ourselves and our families. And in all these things, God, we ask for the strength to face the hard realities of our world and not to despair, but to have the courage to stand with the vulnerable, the victims of violence and injustice, and those who live on the margins of life. And because we are also a people of great joy and hope, God, we thank you for your promise of being with us in and through all things. And we reach out to you, and you are there. When we laugh, you rejoice with us. And when we rest, you watch over us. We remember, God, that you knit us in your womb. You know our every thought, and you love us unconditionally. So remain our rock, our sure foundation, our shelter from the storm, our confidant, and our motivator as we move through this week, striving to be the best that we can be, the best that you created us to be, so that we may glorify you. In your spirit of love, we offer our prayers. Amen.